This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you. Jesus, be God. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for every child. Thank you, Father, that you've created them individually. Thank you, Father, that you know exactly where they are at. Thank you, Father, that I can bless Gerda, who is going to do the kids' church this afternoon, Lord, that she will speak into their hearts. I speak an open heart and just an enjoyment together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I felt that God shared, I think it was yesterday evening or this morning, that there will be two people during worship who received something from God and that you need to share with us. So I'm looking forward. Please don't be intimidated. If God shares to you something, it's not for nothing. So please come. So you didn't get the message. Okay. Then we'll leave it like that. It's sad. I always feel it's so super cool when God speaks to us and someone is obedient and he comes and he shares what is on God's heart. While we're worshiping, I did get a picture of glitter that came from the heavens, and I just saw in intercession the angels ready with trumpets, and I just could see how they enjoy the glitter coming down. And I feel it's really God's Holy Spirit, his presence that comes down on us, and the angels are joining in and they are happy. And so may we receive what God has on his heart. I'll pray just now. Thanks, Yolandi and Marco. There's a picture, the next slide is a picture of a tipping point, something that is on the tip to tip over. I think some of us has experienced that. Some adventurous boys will experience more than most of our ladies are a little more cautious, so we will not go so far to tip over. But yes, can you think of a time in your life where something happened and that made a ripple effect? The last straw or the last drop that makes the cup flow over. The last straw that breaks the back of the donkey. And when you think now, what were the events before that? Because often it's just the last drop. Okay, so just have it, keep it, and then we'll carry on. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we thank you so much, Lord, for this privilege. Thank you that we can glorify you, that we can praise you. Thank you that we're able to do that. Thank you that we may assemble together and even connect with those in London who are part of this church, Lord, who are part of this family. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you for connecting with us. Thank you that you're never tired or lazy, that you're never asleep, that you're always there and ready. Who is, your eyes goes over the earth and you say, who is ready? Who is ready? Who can I speak into? Lord, and may you find us ready. May you find us ready to serve your kingdom, what is on your heart, what is in your will, Father. Help us, help our hearts to get there. And I praise you, Lord. Thank you that you've spoken this message to me during this week. And I ask you, Lord, that you will speak through me and that only those words will come out, Father. Thank you so much. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm really excited for what God brings to us today. And it has been a very long time since I preached. I had a long holiday, I think. It was really cool. And God spoke to me a lot. And it was such a privilege. It was challenging. It was terrible by seasons. I was very sick for 6 months. And my awesome husband, he is not available for anyone. He is the best. But yeah, he was just so faithful in all that struggle, and I'm so happy to be able to stand here again and to just give what God has given me. And I'm just the post box or the messenger. And may it find favor in your heart. May your hearts be soft to receive what God has for you today. Okay, so fasten your seatbelts. We're going to read out of the Bible. I don't know how many of you open the Bible, but sometimes we do. And it's a whole chapter. But I want us to understand this story. It's a story that's in the Bible, and it's there's some awesome stuff that God has highlighted. And I called it revelations. I call it revelations that God gives us when we're really wanting to hear from us, when we want to hear from Him. So I'll read it. Every now and then I'll interrupt myself. But stay focused. Get the story of these two men. So it's 2 Kings 2, verse 1 to 23. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah was a prophet. And he was quite, well, we can say he was a great prophet. What do we mean when we say he's a great prophet? But he really walked in God's will, and he had great victories. But prophets are not always very liked, because you don't always like the message they bring, and often kings don't like them. They go and ask, what does the Lord say? And when they honestly bring that word, then they say, oh, you're a bad prophet. Okay, so I'll try again. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elijah were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elijah, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. So Elijah was the follow-up. He was the servant, and he faithfully served Elijah. And he was the next in line, if I can say it like that. In a sense, the firstborn, if you want to see it that way. But Elijah said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. There's a word that also in some translations, they don't use yourself live. They say, as long as there's breath in you. And that was beautiful. When I looked it up, it was the Ruach breath, the breath that God blew into us when He created us. So Elijah says, as long as you have that breath in you, I'm going to stick to you. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elijah and said to him, do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you? And he said, yes, I know. Keep quiet. So the followers of the prophets, that's what we call them, the sons of the prophets, the followers of the prophets, who also were in the school, if I can say that, they knew. They knew today this guy is going to be taken up by God. So God spoke to them. Elijah said to him, Elijah, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophet who were in Jericho drew near to Elijah and said to him, do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you? And he answered, yes, I know. Keep quiet. Then Elijah said to him, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets, who also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. So the prophets, the group of prophets, the sons of the prophets from Jericho, thought, we don't want to miss this. We want to see what's going to happen now. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to the one side and to the other till the two of them could go over dry ground. So when we read this, we think often, well, perhaps not always, but of when the Israelites came through the Jordan, that it also opened up, and the Red Sea, when they had to go through the Red Sea. So for God, this was nothing, eh? Have you ever tried it? No. Do you trust it when God tells you? Speak to it, or get your mantle or your jersey or whatever. Will you do it? Okay. Then they had crossed. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elijah, "Ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken from you." And Elijah said, "Please, let there be a double portion of your spirit on me, the ruach on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I'm being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. It must have been a spectacular event. I don't know what we will think if we see a chariot and some horses on fire, and I'm still talking to you, and now it's coming in between us, and there you left me. It must have been really cool to see. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah was not scared. He was happy. He thought, okay, here I am, here I go. And Elijah saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. So he was gone. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Which is beautiful here is we often have shared with the church that the cloak was your identity. So it's kind of, if you're a police officer, you wear that uniform. If you're a nurse, you wear that uniform. So immediately when Elijah was taken up, his uniform, his cloak, his authority was stayed behind, and Elijah took it immediately. He said, "I want this. I ask for this, and I'm going to take this." And he didn't even hesitate. He didn't think, "Oh, Lord, may I touch it? Is it not mine?" He was confident. Where is the Lord of God of Elijah when he struck the water? Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elijah went over. Okay, so now he's on his own with a new authority, and what's he going to do with this? Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elijah." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. So they could recognize, they could discern that a spiritual thing happened, changed. It's the same guy. It's the same guy who went through the Jordan and now who came back. But there was something different. They discerned that. And they said to him, behold now, there are with your servants 50 strong men. Please let them go and seek your master. It may be that the Spirit of the Lord has caught him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. So what kind of faith is this now? That we have a God that takes you up and then throw you on a mountain a few kilometers far away? So in a sense, they could discern the Spirit, but they lacked understanding. They didn't understand, but our God will not do this. And Elijah also said, "You shall not send. No, this is not going to happen. This is not how our God works." But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, "Send. Okay, then you go." So they sent therefore 50 men, and for 3 days they sought him, but did not find him. And they came back to him while he was staying at Jericho, and he said to them, The thing that I never want to say to Dad, can have I told you, I did tell you this is going to happen. And yeah, Elijah could say to those prophets or to those 50 strong men, did I not say to you, did not go, you will not find him. He is not here. He's taken up into heaven. Now the men of the city said to Elijah, behold, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees. But the water is bad, and the land is unfruitful. He said, okay, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went to the spring of the water and threw salt in it and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From now on, neither death nor miscarriage shall come from it. So the water has been healed to this day, according to the word Elijah spoke. So it's not Elijah that healed it, but he was used by God. And God said, okay, do this salt thing. And a few times God also told us to do a prophetic action, also at the spring of the Maas and of the Seine. I got the rivers right. There was such a difference. But it's not as if the salt in itself does something. It's a symbolic prophetic act of healing. It was healing, yeah. So then, Elijah, he went up from there to Bethel. So they came from Bethel, before you remember. And while he was going up on the way, some small boys came out of the city and jeered at him. The different translations, and if you go back into the original, these boys were not so very small. They were not adults. But in the Jewish tradition, there's no teenagers. So you're either not adult or you're adult. And these boys were not adults yet, but they really knew what was going on. They could have understood what they are doing. And they jeered at him, saying, go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head. And actually it meant, you also go up with those chariots, go fly to heaven. So actually they were really cursing the whole event that happened just now. And was a holy event. It was not just nothing. It was beautiful and awesome, and it's never been seen before. It's never been seen afterwards. And they just mocked it. And he turned around, and when he saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. And two she-bears came out of the woods and tore 42 of the boys. From there he went on to Mount Carmel, and from there returned to Samaria. So that is, you made it. You made it through the whole scripture. Well done. You're still awake. And it was this beautiful story of Elijah and Elisha. And so today's sermon, God, when I asked him what to preach about, when I knew the name of this weekend will be the tipping point. I wonder, what do you preach of tipping point? But you know, God is not confused. So he knew, and he said, humbleness and determination. But first he said, humbleness. And I'm going to get us through this story. So humbleness. Elijah, if we remind ourselves of this story, he was humble. He didn't want to have a whole lot of people seeing how God takes him up in this chariot. It must have been quite spectacular. So he wanted to do it on his own. He just wanted to be taken up. And then no one would ever have known how it happened. But so he was not into the show business. He said, ach no, I will go on my own. And also that is humble. No, it's not to put yourself before and say, oh, I am the most great prophet and I am the only one that will be taken up in a whirlwind. No, not at all. It was not about him. It was about God who he served. And then every command of God he followed. We only have it in this story. There's many more, but they came from Gilgal, no, something like that. Gilgal. And then they went to Bethel. So in Gilgal, God said to him, go to Bethel. Then they go to Bethel. Then they arrived in Bethel. Okay, Lord, here I am. I did what you said. Oh, no, you must go to Jericho. There's nothing in the word that says, oh, he was angry with God, or he didn't believe it, or he heard wrong the first time. Oh, he said, okay, yes, then I'll go to Jericho. And when he came in Jericho, God said something else. Can we do that? No? When God says, do A, it doesn't make sense. Why must I do A? But do you follow through? Are we doing it? Okay, so humbleness, it's not about your own thinking. It's not what you think of this message. It is what God shares with you. Okay, so he obeys. And this morning when we listened to the Sermon of Hercules, he also spoke about obedience. We need to learn to be obedient to when God speaks to us. Okay, and then, he didn't want to die for honor. He didn't think it's a huge thing. So how does humbleness, I'm just reminded of how humble Moses was. And there's many examples in the Bible. God can use you when you're humble. He cannot use you with your arrogance or with me and myself and I. I was really looking forward to preach again, but I know, and I'm stressed as well, because I know it's in my own power. I cannot. In my own power, I would not have a message. Yes, I have lots of opinions, but that's not, I always say, that's not why you come. You don't come for my opinion. Okay, so how does humbleness look today? How will you identify a person with humbleness? It's a person, in the dictionary, it says having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's importance. But actually, the world teaches us the opposite. If you have to go for an interview and you're very humble, most probably you will not get the job. You need to promote yourself. You need to tell them, without you, this business is not doing well, and I am the gift to your business. And you must be confident. But this is not what God wants. This is what the world makes us to do. But it's not right. So in the world, I struggle to see humbleness. I do see in the Asian and in the Indian culture, I do not want to pick on anyone, but they have more humbleness built into them. I don't know how to say it different. I think it's the Western world that is much more adamant, and I am the best, and so. Okay, so humbleness, I just want to see, in Elijah's, life and in our life. Okay, so humbleness, you must grasp this. Humbleness is the tipping point to accept Jesus as your Savior, accept his gifts, except to hear his voice and to get delivered. But first, I'll speak about humbleness is the tipping point to accept Jesus as your Savior. If you do not come to God and say, Lord, here I am. I cannot enter heaven on my own. I need leadership in my life. I need guidance. I need a shepherd. I will not do it on my own. If you cannot be humble, I think you will struggle to receive salvation, because it's that humbleness in your heart that gives your heart to God and said, okay, Lord, I've tried it. I mess up. I see I cannot do it. Perhaps you haven't tried and you knew before it is just humbleness. But when God shared with me this message, it's really the tipping point. It's really the thing that will make you tip over if you can be humble and just let all your other stuff go. I grew up in a society where it's much more about performance. How much, if you studied hard, you deserve to pass. If you did practice hard and you can run fast, you deserve to win or to take part. So it's often your own effort that is honored. Yeah. Your only effort is to be humble. It is such a contradiction. It is such an opposite. And I myself struggled very much with this, not to accept Jesus, but to understand that I cannot say to God, yes, but there I messed up and there I messed up, but this I was really cool in. That one, did you see that one? It's not about, God is not impressed with that. It is your heart's attitude. Are you humble to say, Lord, help me. Thank you that you helped me. Thank you that this worked out so well. Thank you that you gave me the words to bless someone. Thank you that you gave me the words to prophesy. Thank you that you gave me the opportunity to pray for someone to get healed. You know, it is wonderful. But if you think it's you, God will not operate through you. God cannot operate through the pride or the proud. So humbleness is really the start of opening yourself up and say, Lord, your way, not my way. Yes, God did give us a brain. Yes, I grew up, I have Dutch parents, and they always said, you must think also. God gave you a brain, so you can figure this yourself. But later on, I realized it's much easier to just go to God because now I have option A, B, C. Now I must check, is it this, is it this, or is it this? If I just go straight to God, he says, okay, Renee, you turn left. But I must confess that still today when God says to me, God told us to sell our house a few years back, I said, no, we will not sell our house because this is our pension. God, you don't understand, this is my pension. So it's not as if I'm in agreement with everything God says. I said, no. So God said to me, okay, Renee, so you don't trust me. I said, yes, I don't trust you. Oh, I'm so sorry. I repent that I don't trust you. And we sold the house, and within a week it was sold. And then I said, Lord, why did you make it happen so quick? Couldn't I get just used to the idea? But it was his divine appointment. And you will be blessed if you follow that. Because it's not my own thinking. My own thinking was so much different. But God loves us. He has the best for you. He wants you to flourish. But yes, sometimes it's really you. It's a sacrificial type of lifestyle. You really need to let go sometimes of your own sound mind, which in any case, can thank God for if you think you have a sound mind. But I tell you, just go to God and he will guide you. Okay, that was now a lot about salvation. Humbleness is the tipping point to receive the Holy Spirit gifts. If you think you can earn the gifts, and you think, okay, then I can march up and down here, and I can call everyone, and I can heal those group, and I can give impartation there, forget about it. It's not about you. It's about his kingdom. How can he flow through you for his kingdom, for his church, for his body? And I'm always scared to pray for someone when they need healing. I think, oh Lord, will you do it? Because I know I can talk a lot. As you can hear, I can talk a lot. But my talking will not repair your leg, or will not heal your crippleness, or will not make your back feel better. My talking cannot do that. I do not have that power in me. But God can do that. And it was a privilege. Sometimes then I feel God says, you must pray for someone whose knee knee is not nice, and now I look for people whose knees look twisted or not good. I'm looking for you now. But it was one evening when we did evangelism in Utrecht, and there was three young adults, 18, 17, 20, those three, more or less their age, and they sat drinking at the Dom Tower. For the London people, it is a square at the first church in Utrecht. And they relaxed, and they had their bottle of wine there, which they hide when the police come, but they're smoking those stuff that smells terrible. So they're having a nice time there. And we started talking to them, me and Esther, and then I said, I feel God is saying someone's knee is not so good. And then the one guy, the two friends turned to the one, he said, yes, it's your knee, it's your knee. And then he says, ooh, what about my knee? And then he says, yes, 3 years back or 2 years back, he had an operation on his knee, but it could not, after that, ever be straightened. It was always on a hook, and an angle. And I said, well, then we're going to pray for your knee. He says, oh, no, that comes far too close. I don't want that. And his two friends, luckily, his two friends says, yes, go for it. Let's do it. He visited the church the week before that. So that was his first time he went to church. I said, well, if God shares this with me, I assume he will heal you. Because otherwise, why will he tell me that there's someone with a knee? So we prayed for that knee. And yes, of course, it straightened. And it was so beautiful. But I had more a kick out of it than anyone. I just said, yes, Lord, you did it. But you need to be humble. God will not work through you if you're this arrogant person and say, oh, the sick, come to me, I will pray for you because I have the anointing. It doesn't work that way. All right. That's the Holy Spirit gifts. There are many cool gifts. They are really nice. But you need to trust God. And God, if you ask him, he will give it to you. He is so awesome. Okay, I must go on. Humbleness is the tipping point to hear his voice. If you want to hear God's voice, I don't know how you operate in life if you cannot hear his voice. I had more than 40 years, I could not hear God's voice. I assumed what was good and what must I do. And I used my own sound mind to choose things that I thought is godly and that I thought will be in his will. And I think, yeah, sometimes it was not bad. It was not as if God was cross with me. But that's not his heart. His heart is for each and every one of us that he can talk to you. He's your father. If you do not talk to anyone, how can that anyone understand you? They don't even know of your existence. But God knows of your existence. But you need to hear his voice. Otherwise, he cannot guide you. He cannot tell you to pray for someone with a knee. He cannot tell you to sell your house. Perhaps you like that one. But how do you know where to go? How do you know where is your shelter? In these times that we live in, we all, God told me, just at the start of this COVID epidemic, I said, okay, Lord, so what is your heart on this thing now? What do we do now? He said, oh, Satan brought a lot of fear. He poured a lot of fear out on the earth, and I bring peace to my people. Have you received the peace? Are you okay with what happened? We're not in agreement. It's not from God. But you're not supposed to be fearful. So why are you struggling with fear? Because you do not hear God's voice. You do not hear how he wants to comfort you, how he wants to share. Do not worry. I am in control at the end. Do not worry. I am with you. I will lead you where you have to turn left, where you have to turn right. Do you have to go for the vaccine? Do you not have to go for the vaccine? If you cannot hear his voice, how do you make a choice? You cannot. You assume that you make the right choice. And that is what brings fear as well, because now you wonder, Did I do the right thing? Did I not do the right thing? Yes, I think I did do the right thing. The right thing. It's much nicer to know his voice. And humbleness can bring that to you. You earnestly ask God, Lord, I want to talk to you. You're my creator. You have thoughts of me in the mother's womb. You made me special. There's no double of me on the earth. And you're not supposed to be a double of someone. So, Lord, have your way with me. Tell me what is on your heart for today. We need to communicate with God. So humbleness. We need to ask God to help us to hear his voice. And it is, you are able to hear his voice. It's not some hidden mystery somewhere around the corner. Okay. The last one I want to say about humbleness is deliverance. My heart is deliverance, and you will always hear something about deliverance when I preach. I love deliverance because I was healed of having gluten allergy for my whole life. At the age of 42, God healed me because of humbleness, because I repented some stuff that I didn't even know was sin. But I did it, and since then, I know God can deliver us. We often sing beautiful songs. He breaks the chains. What chains do you have? Where do you struggle with? It's often spiritual struggles. It's not physical struggles, eh? So wrong thinking, wrong ideas, wrong ideologies, that keeps you bound. And humbleness is a part of that to be set free. To really know that God has so much more. You don't need to have A, B, C, D, E, or be bound to unforgiveness, to bitterness, to resentment. You can be set free of that. When I was younger and just married to Derkan, we didn't fight a lot, but sometimes we really had a good disagreement. And then I will be angry for 3 days. Because he needs to know, I am angry today and tomorrow. So it took me 3 days to get over it. What a waste of time. If you just can go and say, I am not in agreement with you, it was really painful what you shared, blah, da, da, da. It's done. So God taught me, you don't need to sulk for 3 days about what happened. So, yeah. God is really into delivering us. Why did Jesus come? You know those, most of you know the verses in the Bible that says he came to set the captives free, he came to heal the broken heart. How many of you, your heart are broken? Jesus came for that. Why is your heart still broken? Why are you not set free? Okay. Humbleness. You need humbleness to ask God. And sometimes it's good to just attend some of the courses of Shofar. It helped me a lot to understand how does this deliverance work. There's no shame. There's no condemnation. It's just, I always say, it's like two baboons. I don't know who of you know how baboons operate, but they search one another for, is it fleas that's on them? They search one another to see where is the fleas, where is the fleas? Got you, and then they even eat the flea. So deliverance is like that. I love it. We search for the fleas. Where are they? Where are they? Oh, there it is. Okay, great, we get him. And then you're free. We repent what happened, and God set you free. It's a miracle work, but you need humbleness. You need to acknowledge, Lord, I cannot do it myself. Good. Humbleness does mean not my way, but your way. Not how I think, but how you think. So we often have that parable of who is in the driver's seat. Who is in charge of your life? Is it yourself or do you trust God? To whom do you give the steering wheel? It's very scary to give it to God, but it is the best. And you need to trust him and humble yourself. You are not better than God. Really, you are not. Okay, quickly, let's go on. The next one is determination. So Elijah was really determined to stay with Elijah. He wanted to be with him when God took him up to heaven. So he's stuck, ne? From town to town, they marched, they walked. I don't know if it was sunlight or rain. He was committed, he wanted to do that. He also was determined to pursue the double blessing. In Encounter 3, we learn or teach you about the double blessing, and that it's for all of us. So if it's a foreign concept for you today, don't worry. But it is a double portion that God wants to give you. God wants to give us so many blessings, but we must want to have it and pursue it. Okay, so Elijah was not arrogant. He just pursued what God wants to give. If God wants to give us Holy Spirit gifts, you can pursue it. Lord, I want this. I'm so sorry, everyone. I don't hope your ears burst. So, the double blessing. Elijah pursued it. He asked for it. And the double blessing was not more euros in his pocket or more pounds in his pocket or a new car or a super cool business or whatever. No, it was a spiritual blessing. But you know how far you can go with a spiritual blessing? Ach man, you walk over everything. You are not worried about a lot of stuff. God gives you courage to an understanding and authority to walk in your authority, to do what he wants you to do. You're not intimidated. You don't have so much fear. You can just trust God. Okay. And he had definitely had an earnest desire to serve God. Okay. Do you have an earnest desire to serve God? Or is it just a nice thing on the sideway? Yeah, it's a good thing to do, and perhaps he can serve me. God can serve me. He can heal me or protect me. Is your heart humble and determined to serve him? Elijah served Elijah for many, many years. He never sought his own light. You know, I've worked now for you for 3 years, and at least you can give me some more authority and some more, I can also go and speak to the king. Never. Never, never. He went humbly on. God will anoint you and appoint you for the day that you are supposed you're supposed to stand. You're supposed to get that mantle. Not before and not after, but you must be ready. We must be ready. Good. We're nearly there. Well done. Everyone. Also, with the determination, Elijah tore his mantle, and I've spoken a little about it. He took off his old uniform, his old cloak, his old authority, although it was a cool authority, it was not bad. And he said, No, I'm now going to take that one because this is what God has given to me. So, when God gifts you the gift, are you determined to follow through? Or do you just say, oh, thank you, Lord, that you give me the gift of healing. And you sit on your chair and you don't do anything about it. And when God speaks to you and says, hey, I want you to pray for that person, you say, not today, Lord, I'm not in the mood. And have you seen how big is this guy? And perhaps he will not get healed. And what will I do? Where is my honor then? Where is your heart? Where is your heart? Okay, so he had determination, he was determined, he took that mantle and immediately he put it into practice. He went to the Jordan and said, okay, where is that God of Elijah? Elijah, I'm always confused with the two names. He knew God will open it up. He just did it. So when God tells me to pray for someone's knee or any other thing, do I do it? Do I trust God? Yes, he is trustworthy. And yes, not everyone gets healed for whom I pray. I don't know why, but every time I trust God that he will do it. Okay? Then just after the opening of the Jordan, he healed the water in Jericho. They knew this guy as anointing. They knew it. Oh, we can ask him to come and heal the water. Why didn't they ever ask Elijah to do it? Elijah. No, they ask Elijah. He has the double blessing. And he also cursed those young men who mocked him. So what I want to say about the determination, he took up the mantle and he walked in it and he said, yes, Lord, I trust you now. Could he see that he had the anointing? No, he didn't. Did he have more muscles? No, he didn't. Did he get new shoes? No, he didn't. But he trusted God. It's a spiritual blessing. And he walked with it and he took it and he went with it. Oh, it is just so awesome. Good. I just wanted to say those men who cursed him or who mocked him, Elijah had a godly anger there. Sometimes we think, we always need to treat everyone in love and everything. The world also twists its neck, the love thing. But you cannot do this with God. You cannot mock God. You cannot mock what happened. And then you have to have godly anger. It's not wrong. It's good. Okay. Determination today is often arrogant. We walk over others to get our goal. We are often determined to finish our degree, to get the new job, to go overseas, to do this, to do that. We have lots of determination to do that, but do we have that with God? If God sends you somewhere, do you push through? Do you go through? I can tell you that when God starts talking to you and he says, I want you to do this or that, you cannot be faint-hearted. You must stand strong and you must be determined to push through. And there is in the word, it says, if he can trust you with little, he will trust you with more. If you want to start with this big bang, you will not. You have to walk the steps. And the more he can trust you and rely on you and know you're not gonna disregard God, the more he can trust you, the more he will use you. Okay? So determination is also a tipping point to receive from God for the benefit of the kingdom. If you ask God humbly for the gifts and you receive the gift, you can be determined to say, okay, Lord, show me. You wake up in the morning and say, okay, Lord, show me. To whom can I speak today? Where can I be a blessing? Where do you want to use me? Your thinking must be a little more in that. And not, oh, okay, I know when you have a baby. All I could think of when we had children was, how late must he drink? And when did he drink? Did I do the washing? Do we have food? That was all I could think of. There was no way in my brain that I said, Lord, what would you like me to do today? I could not. But there's seasons for everything. God wants you to be a mama. Well, I was a mama. And to be there for your children. If I forgot to give them milk, that would have been disastrous. So, yes, your focus need to be there then. Okay. You receive the Holy Spirit gifts and you operate in them when God gives that to you. Determination is the tipping point to obedience towards God. Really, really. We cannot just take God lightheartedly and think, it's such a nice option for someday. Really, he's serious with us. So let's be serious with him and trust him. He's an awesome God. And do we obey when we hear him? The few of us who can hear him. And I trust that everyone who's sitting here and who is listening in will be able to hear God's voice. Because it is possible. That is God's heart. So that we can obey him. It's easy to say, oh, I don't hear him, so I also don't need to obey him. Oh, that's a great escapism. But it doesn't work for God. It's not his heart. Okay? God is not our slave. Remember, when we are determined or we pursue things, God is not your servant. He's not your slave. And I think sometimes we think, oh God, will you protect me? Oh God, will you lead me to the right place? Oh Lord, will you do this? Will you do that? Is he your servant? You serve him. It's the other way around. You serve him. He is God. And we have the ability to serve him. Isn't that beautiful? And I can say to you, if you... now I forgot the guy's name who also preached on Saturday. I just know you write it with a Y. Yenka, sorry. I thought I must write down your name. Yenka, he said, in our brain, to hear and do God's will, a psychological shift needs to happen in our minds. A psychological shift needs to happen in our minds to hear and do God's will. And I'm going to pray for that just now. So, that's more or less it. We really need humbleness and determination. And there was also a very beautiful thing Yenka said yesterday about we will have fruitfulness if we cooperate with the divine, with God. You will bear fruit. You will bear fruit because this is how God operates. But if you want to do it for the fruit, no, then your heart is not pure. You must do it to serve God. Okay? But there will be fruit. And how do I need to change to fall in serving him? What need to change in my brain? And that is that psychological brain shift. And God will help us to renew our minds. It is a never-ending thing. You will never arrive. No one of us ever arrived, but it's such a beautiful, challenging lifestyle. And Yenka also said, to live a prophetic life is just amazing. And yes, it's challenging, but it is so, it fills you. It is so an awesome, you have purpose, you have direction. It's just everything. And a prophetic lifestyle means when God speaks to you and you do that, it's you hear him, or when you do prophetic things for him, but when you operate in his ways that we hear from God. Okay. Hope you're still with me. There's one question that we will ask at the end. I'm going to pray for us. Yes. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, our King, you are the best. You are so wonderful and so beautiful, and you love us so much, and you made us so different. And Lord, you show me a bunch of flowers that is everyone, every flower is beautiful, perfectly made. And this is who we are, every one of us. It's a flower made in your kingdom, Lord. And everyone has an own purpose and a divine way of serving you and operating in your will, doing the being able to receive gifts, being able to receive to hear your voice, being able to be saved. It is all about you, Lord. It's you that brings it in us. And I pray, Lord, and we come humbly before you, Lord, that you will help us and guide us and bring supernaturally, Lord, your humbleness in our hearts, that we can understand how this operates. Help us to live in that way. Help us to see you as our leader, our protector, our guide, our shelter, our shepherd, our wisdom, our discernment. Lord, we need so much discernment. I pray that you will give us lots of discernment, Lord, so that we can Operate in your will, Lord, so that we can see where's the enemy. And you remind me now of the watchman. We need to discern seasons. What is coming on? Oh, COVID is coming on with all its rottenness. Oh, okay, Lord, what are we going to do with this? Thank you, Lord, that you guide us, that you show us, that you give us peace, that we can be okay in the midst of the storm, because we know you love us, Lord. We know you're with us. We know you want to, even in the storms, train us and help us to stand in authority and in your will and serve your kingdom, so that more people can come to your kingdom, so that it will be abundant, Lord, that every church will overflow and be spirit-filled and know your voice and hear your voice, and it's the only thing that we want to do. Yes, we want to do faithfully worldly stuff, take care of our children. It's not separate. It is with you. Lord, what do I pray over my child today? She has a very difficult day with her friends. Lord, how do I do this? Lord, what do you want me to do there? Father, bless me. I'm so tired. I cannot go to the hospital anymore and see more people die. Help me, Lord. Guide me how I can still be a blessing. And thank you, Lord. Thank you that you strengthen us, that you bring the peace into us, that you bring authority into us and destiny, and that we exactly know we are yours. We are protected, we are provided, we can rely on you. You do not change. It doesn't matter what season it is, you're the same. We can trust you, we can have faith in you. It is beautiful. Father, thank you. Thank you that you will bring those things to our hearts as well. I speak that our hearts will be open now to receive what God has for you today. To receive, and I feel open up your hands and in a gesture of showing God that you're willing to receive what He has for you today. Thank you, Lord, for the impartations. Thank you for the your interpretations. Thank you for the revelations. Thank you that you touch our heart. Thank you that you're the only one that can touch us so deep and so sincere and so beautiful. Ach, we thank you so much, Lord. You are so wonderful and awesome and lovely. Thank you that we may serve in your kingdom. Thank you that you even assist us to do it. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. I speak a blessing over every gift that you've received, everything that God revealed to you, that is spoken to your heart, that it will fall on fertile ground, that it will blossom, it will grow in and out season, and it will be such a blessing for everyone around you and for God's kingdom. Father, and you show me a field of flowers. Thank you, Lord, that together it's such a beautiful sight. It is just so cool and so awesome. And we thank you for that. We thank you that we may be flowers in your garden, that we may be flowers in your field. May we be the best one that you want us to be, Father. The small one, the big one, the beautiful one, the one that smells beautiful, the one that looks beautiful, the one that is still developing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Oh, we love you so much, Lord. I thank you so much for this. In the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not sure the question. Do I read the question now? I want to give you a question. And those who are on Facebook or following us, I want you to think about this question, but I want you to sit next to someone. It doesn't matter if you don't know this person, but sometimes it's even easier to share. But just share honestly, what this question is with one another. Elijah received the mantle of Elijah and went immediately to put it into practice. When you received salvation or the gifts or your freedom, or the ability to hear God speaking to you, Did you put it into practice? Are you still putting it into practice? And what are the obstacles in preventing you of doing so? Give practical and real life answers. Be honest to yourself and to others. And it's also part of humbleness to be able to share. There's no condemnation, there's no shame. That is from the enemy, not from God. God is not into that. And if you feel this about someone else and you want to shame him, or you feel, whoa, you are really very bad, or you're struggling with a terrible thing and I am not so bad, I think you must pray for yourself because you're on the wrong route. Just look through the eyes of Jesus. How would Jesus see this person? He loves you with your faults and with your sin. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. It was a privilege. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.